Yeah, so God's got great things for all of us, you know, and he wants us to be happy and blessed. And he really has called us to that happy and smooth life, you know, even though we're in this world and there can be stuff that's, you know, doesn't make it smooth and doesn't make it happy. It's all about how we perceive everything and how we respond to things. And in our carnal minds and our old nature, we can respond carnally. And, you know, it can be not so great. We can have a down day. We can be depressed. We can be unhappy or whatever the situation is. But when we're walking with God, we can set our minds on the things which are above and not on the things on this earth, knowing that God is with us, knowing that God is for us. He's called us to a higher mighty calling, that he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that he wants us to prosper. And he wants us to be in health, even as our soul prospers. And God wants you to be very prosperous spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, materially, relationship-wise. And so this soul and this prospering and being in health in 3 John 2, that this word prosper, it starts from within. It's as your soul. Your soul is your will, your mind, your emotion, your intellect. What makes you you? That's what's got to be prospering. What's in our heart, in our minds. And the way that we change our life is by changing the words that we're hearing, the words that we're speaking. And we need to focus on what God is saying to us. So, you know, if you're feeling weak, you can say, I am strong. You know, if you're feeling down, you say, I am high. I'm blessed with God. You know, I have the joy of the Lord within my heart. I am thankful. I am healthy. I am holy. And it comes down to taking on God's narratives rather than the world's narratives, rather than our own narratives. And the most important thing is, you know, it says in the scripture, as he thinketh, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's basically referring as a man or a woman thinks in their heart, so are they. They become what you think about. You basically become what you think about, because what you think about is what's making you, you. And also, you'll be speaking in line with how you think. Yeah, so your words are in agreement to what you're thinking and feeling. And then we tend to then speak it forth, or we take actions in those directions, and it produces fruit. Now, if it's the wrong thoughts, if it's the wrong attitude and focus, then we start to produce wrong results, wrong situations, wrong people in our life as well. But with God, we can change our whole life around by saying and taking in what God says. That's why it's good to come together. It's good to hear what God is speaking and what God is saying right now to us. That, you know, that you are holy, you're beloved, you are strong, you are successful, you're prosperous. And we have to, you know, speak as it, like it's already a reality. No, I am prosperous and healthy. It may not be a physical reality right now in your life, but the more we think and speak that it is a reality, it can become that reality. Because this is how God has set up faith and for us to walk in and for us to see. So God wants us to see the things in our minds before we actually live it out. So I'll give you an example. Like, your vision is your endurance. So Jesus, he saw the joy before him, and that helped him to go through the tough times he was going through when he was being whipped and beaten and mocked and when he was shedding his blood. You know, it says for the joy, you know, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, you know, and he endured what he had to go through in his situation of laying down his life and being that sacrifice for mankind, right? And shedding his blood and going through everything he went through for us. And it was because he didn't focus on the situation before him. He focused on the promises of God to him about him and what he was going to be and what he was going to receive. what he knew according to that time, that, you know, because there were certain things he didn't know, but the things that he did know, he set his mind on those things. So the scriptures, you know, say, you know, says that we are righteous, we are justified, we are sanctified, we are redeemed, we have direct access to God, we are highly favored, we're in the presence of God. That's where we need to keep our thinking. And we know that we're going to be gathered together. Jesus Christ is going to gather the church. There's, it's called the parousia. And there's two parts to this parousia. The first part is when Jesus Christ comes and meets us in the air. We meet him in the air. That's the first part of the gathering together. Yeah, or the return, or whatever you, whatever people name they want to give it, is the return of Jesus Christ. The first part of that return is that we will meet him in the air. He won't come back to the earth when he gathers the church, but he will come back to the earth at the end of the 7 years tribulation, and he'll return with us, right? So there's two parts to us. One, we'll be gathered together. We'll meet him in the air face to face, and then we'll come back with him to rule and reign on this earth. And so that's the two parts. Now, that's our joy, that's our hope and believing, you know, that when we're going through situations in life, and they may be tough times, they may be difficult times, we know that we could be gathered at any time, and that should give us endurance and hope, because God is our hope in our hopelessness, you know. God also makes a way where there seems no way. There could be periods of dry times where we're not seeing too much. But once we get in the heavenly flow of saying what we want and not what we're seeing, we're confessing the great words from God, we're honoring God, we're connecting, we're speaking by the Spirit, we're practicing the right way, then the rivers of heaven will flow for us. The heavenly flow will be there for us. But it's all, again, we have to bring our minds back to what God is saying to us now, today, in our hearts, and we say those things and we move forward in accordance to that. So we say what we want and not what we see. And so we build our hearts with who we truly are. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. So God wants us to change our thinking about ourselves. Because maybe we think we're not so clever, we're not so strong, we're not so smart, we're not lovable, you know, people have it better than me, I'm not so good as others. But, you know, we don't put our thoughts there. You know, Jesus Christ, you know, he was the Son of the Most High God, and he was very powerful man, you know, and he knew who he was before God, and we are as he is, you know. And the Apostle Paul, he said, you know, whatsoever things are lovely and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are of a good report, whatsoever things are of virtue, if there be any praise, you know, then we're to think on the good things, those things, the beautiful things. You know, so we keep our minds clean and happy with happy thoughts. You know, we don't see the negative outcomes of things. You know, we're trained in the senses world, as we've been brought up in this world, to see the end result on the negative side. Oh, I probably won't get that job, or I probably won't be healed, or there's always something that stops me. We don't think that way or speak that way. We start changing that by seeing the good results happening. We see it in our minds. If you can see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. You can see it. That's what faith is. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance, or the title deed, of things hoped for, the things that we hope for. Hope is future. The evidence of things not seen. In other words, it's not, maybe not evidently in front of you right now, but it is in your mind. Yeah? The evidence of what you want is in your mind, and your mind is saying, and your words are saying, I've already got it, it's mine. Then it can manifest. Then God can bring it into manifestation. It starts to show up in our lives. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can see what we desire as already ours. We see it in our minds, and we give the voice to that. In other words, we speak that way. I am prosperous. I am successful. I am healed. I am delivered. I have the best relationships. And, so we can speak those things. You know, it says in, I spoke last time about our words because it's just so important that we grab this. And it's like in James, it says, you know, our tongue can set the course of our world on fire on the negative side because our, you know, there's power in our tongue. Or it can set things on the right course on the good thing. It says our tongue's a little member and boasteth great things. And the tongue is like the helm or the rudder on a massive ship. That little rudder steers the whole ship. And our tongue steers our whole life. And our words are seed. You know, like the word of God is seed. And it's referred to as seed, like the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. You can read that chapter. It talks about the parable of the sower, where the seed fell on good ground and stony ground. And so the words that we speak are seed. And when we speak words, negative or positive, they're being planted. And the more we speak on those, on the negative side, it's like we're pouring water on it. And those seeds are growing, the seeds of doubt, the seeds of worry, the seeds of fear. But we can change it by saying the right things, the positive things. And so that's also seed. Like, so me, by me saying, I am strong, I am healthy, I am successful. It may not be in the physical realm right now. You might think, well, you don't look like it and this don't seem to be happening in your life. But the more we say that, the more that word is being spoken, the seeds are being planted. And where is it being planted? Is within your heart. And the more you believe that, the more you say it, the more you'll come into agreement in your heart and your words when you're speaking it. And then you'll start to manifest it. You start to see these things. So like in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if thou shalt confess, say with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto wholeness, salvation. So this word salvation is wholeness. In other words, complete, spiritually, mentally, physically, materially, in every category of life, in your life, in your heart, in your mind, you're made whole. And it was because you believed and you confessed. So that shows us our words and what we believe need to be in alignment. And someone once called it the synchronized life. You know, it's the heart and the mouth is synchronized together to produce great results for us. So we can control our what's going on in our lives by what we can believe and what we say. So if we go around saying, well, nothing really works out for me, I'm always having a hard time, we can change that confession and belief by saying what God says about us. What does God say? Like, he's with us. He holds us by the right hand. If we delight in him, he'll give us the desires of our heart. He wants us to be successful. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, so we can make sound mind decisions. So that means I've got a sound mind. It says in Colossians that we're complete in Christ. So if you're complete, that means you don't need anything because you're complete. Christ has already accomplished everything for you and me on the spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, financial situations for our life. He's already paid the price that we can have the best of that. And so we just got to recognize that and then claim it by living it, speaking it, moving in it, not having any other way. Even if we start off with nothing and we start saying what God says, he can change our whole life. So when I started to learn about confessing, saying what I want and not what I see, I started to also then, God also opened it up for me to learn about what we see in our mind. Because words paint pictures. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, thou, referring to God, will keep him in perfect peace because his mind is stayed on thee. And so the word mind there refers, it's called Yahtzeh, I believe. And it means, imagination or a frame. So when someone speaks words, you know, our mind is the frame. What you put in a frame, you put pictures in a frame. And when we speak words, it can paint pictures, right? So if I say to you, a white Alsatian, a black poodle, a big grey elephant, you get some kind of image in your mind. Maybe it's faint, but it's there. So the more we start speaking, the more we can build our picture, our frame of what we want to see. And we see it in our mind. So the imagination is where you see things in your mind, right? So I could say to you, for example, I'm going to go to Disneyland and we're going to stay in a lovely mansion there. You know, we're going to hire a mansion or a Airbnb, beautiful, beautiful rooms, 9 bedrooms and a swimming pool. There's some kind of picture going on in your mind there, right? Now, if you hold to that picture, and then you see yourself there, you speak yourself there, you believe to be there, then it can happen. You know, God can arrange it for those things to happen. So it's really wonderful to understand about the imagination and our words, what we see in our minds and what we say with our mouth and believe in our heart. So like the Tower of Babel, I've shared these things before, and I just feel really... I don't know, when I come on to Ethel's Fellowship, I feel like sharing these things very strongly. It just comes to me. And it's like when they was doing the Tower of Babel, they wanted to build a tower to go all the way up to heaven. And God came down to have a look to see what they were doing. And God says, nothing will stop them because the imagination of their heart and they speak with one language. Everyone was in agreement to what they were going to do, and everyone had the image in their mind of what they was going to build. And God says, because they got that image in mind, and because they're all in agreeing, they're speaking and they're acting that way, nothing's going to stop them. So the language was divided up, so they couldn't continue that, you know, because God obviously didn't want them to do that, right? So it just shows us how powerful our imagination is. And when God said to Joshua, thou shalt meditate day and night, and thou shalt only be strong, and this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. That word meditate means to mutter, to say, and it also means imagination. So the more Joshua would say what God was saying to him, the more that image of victory and triumph in his mind would be built, and he could see it. And God says, you know, wherever you put your foot, that's what I've given you. So the more Joshua would think on that and speak that, the more he could see it, the more strength and faith come. And then Joshua took action and everyone followed him and he got those places. So God shows us how to move forward and to really learn to practice to say what we want, not what we see, to see it in our minds. If you can see the vision, what's vision? Vision is where you see, right? It says in Proverbs 29, where there is no vision, the people wander aimlessly, right? So, and this word vision in there, it means revelation. So it's God's revealing of what he wants you to do. So when God speaks into your life what you're going to do, you now have got vision. And it's a mental image. It's a mental picture. Like God said to me, Lawrence, through, you know, a man of God and a woman of God, actually 10 years in between, he said the exact same words. You know, you're going to move God's word in all of the UK and the whole of Europe. And later on, God put it in my heart, USA, which is now happening. So now I got that in my mind. I got the image of me moving God's word. And that means working with people in all of the UK and Europe. And God's got to open the doors. He's got to send those laborers to me, which he's doing. I got an image in mind now. So now God can bring it on. Now God's got my confidence. He's built my confidence. He's worked with my faith. Like when he went to Moses, he says, you know, you're going to go in and you're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And this is what you're going to do. And God had to work with his faith to show Moses that God was going to be strong on his behalf. He showed him his power. He said, put your hand in your jacket. And he put his hand in his jacket. He says, put it out. And it was leprosy. He says, now put it back. And he put it back. He said, now bring it out. And it was back to normal. He said, chuck your stick on the floor. And it turned to a snake and all this stuff. So God was showing him, look, I'm with you. And I'll be with your mouth, because Moses wasn't very confident. Well, I can't speak up. Well, I'll give you someone to speak for you. But you're going to go in there and you're going to tell Pharaoh. So God worked with Moses' faith, building images of victory in his mind, to the point he took action and went and stood before Pharaoh and said to Pharaoh, you let God's people go, you know. So God is with you and God is with me. What has God spoken to your heart? What's the desire in your heart of what you want to do with God? Has God told you what you're going to do? Or is there a desire in your heart of what you want to do? Because that's from God. And you may think you can't do it because of you need this, you need that. But if God's called you to do something, he will provide the means for you to do it. He will open all doors for you to walk through. And sometimes we feel that we haven't got a direction. But, you know, God has given us direction. You know, we're moving God's word in all over the world, basically. Ethel's moving God's word. Wherever she goes, she's moving God's word. And wherever God's put in her heart. Same for you, Kathy. Whatever God's put in your heart, the dreams, the desires, the visions, you know, when you first knew about God, whatever it is you wanted to do for God, you may have put it down and thought, well, I can't really do that. I'm not clever enough. I'm not qualified. But if God's put it in there, you'll do it. All you got to say is, yes, God, here I am. Send me, I'll do it. I don't know much. Like I said to myself personally, Lawrence Torr said to God, I don't know much. How am I going to do that? I'm not qualified. I don't know how to do these things. I don't know how to, if I'm saying the right thing or not. But God has got such a great way to give us confidence and to be with our mouth. He gives us the wonderful words to speak. And he just wants us to stay with him. He really is for you. He really is with you. He wants you to see that you can see yourself doing the things that he's called you to do. You need to get an image of it in your mind, in your heart. It comes from heavenly words that have been spoken right now. It can build an image in your heart. Yeah, I can do things with God. Wow. I can move God's word in all of my area or in my little town here. Yeah, I could see myself doing that. And then you ask God to lead you into doing it. And he is start leading you into doing it. Give me what I need, God. I need laborers. I need a place to host the fellowships. I need money, finances to host the Zoom or to pay the bills or to keep myself alive and looking good so people will believe what I got to say to them about your goodness. And so God says he'll supply all of your need. According to his glorious riches by Christ Jesus. You know, God shows us how to be prosperous. And that's through honoring God with our finances. You know, that means sowing your seed, referring to money in today's time and hour. We will give money. We won't give vegetables and fruits like they did in the Old Testament. But today's currency is money. So God says, now you honor me with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. So if I got 20 incomes coming in from all over the place, the first fruits from every income I get will go to God. And that means God's first in my fight. God will honor that and multiply it. God can, whatever you got that God's blessed you with, or whatever your income is with God, he says, ask me what to give and I'll show you what to give. And when you give it, I multiply your seed sown. And God is so clever how he does that. Also, like Isaac, God told him to stay in a barren land where the land wasn't producing anything. And he says, sow your seed in this barren land, Isaac. And because he obeyed God and he was sowing it into a land that no one would sow their seed in, God multiplied the seed 100 times and he became very, very rich. And then if you think of all of God's men and women, they were all prosperous. Jesus was prosperous. You know, if you think even as he was being born, the 3 kings, the precious oil and different things that they brought to him was worth a lot of money. Jesus had a treasurer, which was Judas. He carried all the money, so people would give to Jesus in their recognition of God. they would honor God there. So to have a treasury, you've got to have money, right? And what was ever in that treasury was God's, and it was blessed to Jesus because of his ministry. So it's like all these different things, you know, like God is faithful. He will finance your call in life. You don't have to worry. Well, how am I going to do this? Where's the money going to come from? And I know this firsthand because I gave up my job. 2005, I gave it up because I knew God wanted me to work with him. In fact, God gave me a dream and showed me the day I was going to give it up and what was going to happen down the road. He showed me three different scenes of my life. And that's still taking place now, and some things have come to pass in that. So I know that sometimes when I get discouraged, I recall those things to my mind. I recall the journey. I recall the encouragement that God gave me. I know that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Have he not said it? Shall he not make it good? If God has spoken something into your life, guys, or girls, should I say, he's going to bring it to pass, you know, and God's got great works for you, Ethel, great works for you, Katy, and whoever else gets to listen to this. God's got great works for you before ordained works. God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope and a future, to give you an expected end, you know, successful life, a joyful life, a happy life, a smooth life. And regardless of whether they're Satan or not, you can have a happy and smooth life. Satan is under your feet. He's a defeated foe. We got to not give him credit, but we give God and the Lord Jesus Christ our credit. Jesus showed the way. He said, you know, if you believe on the works that I do, he said to his disciples, you know, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, he was saying, he that believes on me, and never refers to anyone, shall do the same works that I do and greater because I go to my Father. So now you've got the Spirit of God within you. You're very powerful. And you can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. You can cleanse the lepers. You can give words of prophecy. You can speak words of prophecy. You can prophesy into people's life. You can bring light into people's life by speaking the word, because it's the entrance of God's word that brings light. You are very powerful. You are a world changer. Each individual believer, and there's many of us in the world, we're world changers, and there's still things that need to be changed in the world. And it says in Romans that, you know, that that the whole creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God, which is us, to manifest, to show up. The whole creation is waiting for us to show up in our words and our actions, knowing who we are and our authority to speak unto the mountains, to change things, because we're world changers and we can change it at the direction of God, and with God working in us and saying what God says and not what we see, we can change things. You know, God calls things which are not as though they were. It says that in Romans 4:24, I think. That God calls those things which are not as though they were. In other words, God said, light be, and light became. And God commanded a few other things as well, which became too. And you have that ability within you because of the Spirit of God in you and because of the authority of words and because of the laws of that God has set up in the earth. So it says in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, day and night, summer and winter shall not cease. So, like, there's the law of gravity. You know, if you jump from a high point, you're not going to go up in the air. You're going to come down. And so that's called the law of gravity. But how do you overcome the law of gravity? By the law of lift. There's a principle that could be used to get you to come up, like with the aeroplanes, you know. It overcomes the law of gravity by the law of lift. Like a bird when it flaps its wings, it's the law of lift. It's lifted up. So it's lifted up above the gravity, you know. So that's the way you overcome it. There's different laws, like there's certain elements you put together, like you get water. You know, if you put hydrogen stuff, and I can't remember the other part that you put together, there's two parts you put together and you get water. And there's different, like you get a cake. If you want a chocolate cake, there's certain ingredients you put together to produce that chocolate cake. So God has given us the keys of the kingdom. He's shown us how the things work through wonderful believers that are in the scriptures and have lived their life before us, through our Lord Jesus Christ, his wonderful words and examples, through the Apostle Paul and the Acts of the Apostles. We see how God worked with the demonstration of his power. That God says, Paul said, we didn't come to you with excellency of speech, but we came to you in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and of power. It's the power of God that makes known the invisible God. It makes him visible to people. They can see, oh yes, look at, there must be a God for that miracle to happen. Wow. And it opens people's eyes and it turns them from darkness to light. And that's what Jesus Christ came and done. He destroyed the works of the devil. And he turned people from darkness to light. And those that believed on him are saved. And it's the same. And we got that same message. We got the same ministry of word and reconciliation. So you are very important to God. You know, you're very important. You may not see yourself important, but God says see yourself important. Because he's called you important. So if God says you're important, you're important. If God says you're loved, you're loved. If God says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. If God says you're healed, you're healed. And Jesus Christ accomplished all of that for us. So it's a reality. It's a spiritual reality. And the way that we get that spiritual reality to manifest in our life is by speaking it forth with faith and seeing it in our hearts and our minds. So yes, that's what I wanted to share.